Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the King Jordan Radio Live Show for Season 5, Episode 31. Tonight on the show, first of all, the date is Thursday night, July 13, 2017. Anyway, tonight on the program, we'll talk about the Penn State hazing death, and we'll see if it goes to trial. We'll talk to our two experts about that. Casey Anthony's attorney says she barked out when it came to Kaylee. We'll get the opinions of our guests. Bill Cosby attorney drops out of the case, but there's a new trial scheduled for this November. We'll get our legal expert's opinion. An animal dies in a hot car. We'll take our guest's opinion. And 4 years ago today, George Zimmerman acquitted. We'll talk about reaction from that and so on. So it's a pleasure to have tonight on the show for the first time, I guess you could say, a all New York squad, if you will. Two New York defense attorneys, first out of CNN Legal Analyst Saturday Afternoons. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the show Richard Herman. Good evening, Richard. How are you?
Jordan, how are you, my friend?
Great to have you on.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's bring in our other New York partner coming back to the show. He's been on Nancy Grace. He's been on CNN. He's been on all over. He's a Bronx attorney. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Sanchez is back on the program tonight. Good evening, Alex. How are you?
All right, Jordan, how's it going? And Rich, how you doing? I haven't seen you in ages.
Alex, my man, a Bronx attorney. Oh, my God, I'm intimidated now.
Nah, don't be intimidated. I'm not going to hurt you.
We got to go to the Yankee game, man. We got to meet you.
Yeah. Anytime, buddy.
That police officer that died was from the Bronx, right, near you?
The police officer? Is that what you said?
I believe the, you know what I'm talking about? The black police officer that just we lost.
Yeah, isn't that terrible? You know, here's a woman just sitting in a car, you know, she's a mother, and this guy comes up and shoots her in the head and kills her. And, I don't care whether you're a prosecutor or a defense attorney, I don't care what your role is in the criminal justice system, you know, this is awful. But what's troubling about that case, and again, it highlights an extremely important issue, which, you know, society can only really run away from it for so long, was that this guy had a long-term history of mental problems, and about 2 or 3 days before this incident, his girlfriend brought him to a hospital because she felt he was having some type of a breakdown, and she brought him to a mental health hospital. And then the hospital refused to admit him. Sent him on his way. 3 days later, he goes and commits this awful offense. So, you know, something somewhere has got to change. It just can't continue at this rate. You can't.
And that's the checkmate, because that's it. You can call it gun control. You can say everything you want, but the way we treat mental illness in this country, these people that go off and shoot these movie theaters and shoot a police officer sitting in a car, they've lost it. I mean, there's something seriously mentally wrong with them, and we just are unable or unwilling to commit the funds to it or know how to do it, but we don't treat these people. And these murders that we're reading about, you know, the majority of these people that commit them, they are people that are suffering from serious mental illness. And this is, like Alex said, this is an absolute tragedy. I mean, any murder is a tragedy, but this is just really horrific.
No,
and you know, Rich, they don't want to devote money to it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money to pay for psychiatrists, psychologists,
right,
medication. Who wants to pay for that, right?
That's right.
Tragedy.
Sick.
All right, let's talk about Penn State. Not sure if he's interested, but they got the hazing case.
Prosecutors say those fraternity brothers are trying to cover up a hazing ritual. It has been a marathon court hearing, and today we're expecting a slew of defense attorneys to try and tear the prosecution's case apart.
Any comments this morning?
This morning, one by one, defense teams will try to convince a judge that former Penn State fraternity brothers should not go to trial in a case of alleged hazing. 18 of them are facing various charges, ranging from evidence tampering to involuntary manslaughter in connection with the death of 19-year-old Tim Piazza.
These are really good kids. They didn't intend to hurt anybody or harm anybody.
But prosecutors Monday revealed new, potentially incriminating texts from some of the young men. One wrote, "I think we are blanked, like beyond blanked. I don't want to go to jail. Hazing is a huge thing," read another. "And make sure the pledges keep quiet about last night in this situation."
We have a friend who is unconscious.
No one in the Beta Theta Pi house called 911 for nearly 12 hours after Piazza fell down the stairs. His devastated parents, Jim and Evelyn, listened in court.
How hard was it for the Piazza family
to see this text message.
This was a brutally horrible day for the Piazza. They find it extraordinarily difficult to hear that and see it.
At times, court devolved into a shouting match between the prosecutor and defense attorneys, who argued two private security employees hired by Penn State's Interfraternity Council had visited the party just minutes before Piazza first fell down the stairs.
That security company doesn't notice problems. How are our respective clients, who are basically young kids, supposed to notice any issues?
Penn State tells us it's still investigating all aspects of the incident and has announced new safety reforms. This hearing was scheduled to end today, but that now appears unlikely. There might be more witnesses, and these attorneys will no doubt have a lot of questions.
Hello, Today fans.
Okay, Richard, let me get your take first, and then we'll go over to Alex on this Penn State situation, Hazen case.
Okay, Jordan, look. You send your kids to school, you want them to get an education. Many of these kids are looking forward to graduate school and beginning their lives. And you get involved in the social aspects of college and universities. And, you know, I went to school in Pennsylvania, in rural Pennsylvania, where there were 40 fraternity houses in my school. And if you were not in a fraternity, you had no social life. So Penn State, same thing. There's nothing going on in that town if it's not football season. So basically, you have to join a fraternity. And when you have to join a fraternity, they have a lot of power. And they have a lot of power in their rituals to have you become brothers in these fraternities. And these are kids. You know, they're 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that are away from home a lot of times for the first times in their life. And they're in a fraternity house. And you know, they're getting hammered. There's a lot of drinking going on. There's probably a lot of drugs going on, too. And, you know, things get out of control. And how do you handle it? What do you do? I mean, my son is up at Cornell right now, and he's in a fraternity. And I said, you're going to run for president? He said, no. And I understand why, because this president, you know, he's got the heaviest charges against him. He's got a manslaughter, aggravated assault charge. And, you know, Alex and I have tried so many cases, Jordan, where, you know, the prosecution puts on either videotapes or audio tapes. And after they play them, they look at you and they go, you're a witness. You know, and what are you going to do? I mean, there was an incredible surveillance system in the house. I think they have 3 hours of surveillance here. And then you have the text messages from the kids who are freaking out, losing their mind, and a lot of consciousness of guilt, and again, maybe trying to cover things up because they're scared, they don't know what's going on here. Did they act the way they should have? Absolutely not. Were they responsible for this young man's death? Looks like it. Looks like it to me. What's going on in court now, the standard is so low, this case is going to get definitely put over for trial. There's no way these defense attorneys can prevent that, but what they can do, and what good defense attorneys do in these types of hearings, is just flush out as much of the prosecution case as they can so they can prepare for the trial, knowing that this is where the prosecution is going to go. So I'm a little surprised that they're even having this hearing here. I'm surprised they didn't just get an indictment from a grand jury. But in any event, that's what's going on here. So it's a little bit of a sideshow. This case will be put over for trial. And look, hazing, yeah, there's hazing going on here. Feeding alcohol to a minor, 21 is the drinking age in Pennsylvania. So, you know, to the extent that these people had control over the liquor being provided to the fraternity, I'm told there's $2,000 worth of liquor purchased for this party. You know, this
wow.
is, I'm sure this was during some sort of hazing ritual to become a member or become a brother, and a lot of people were involved here, Jordan, a lot of people, and you know, they waited 12 hours, his kid fell down a flight of stairs, and you know, he had a lot of injuries, some of them, look, they said he was drunk running around, okay, so the bottom line is that there is going to be, Alex, there's going to be convictions here. And these young kids, some of them are going to have felony convictions on their record after this is over with. And there may be some prison time here, too. So it's a tragedy all around. And I'm not, look, a defense attorney, okay? I would fight to defend these guys. And that's why there's such, you know, it's a tough situation in court right now where they're fighting with the district attorney. But at the end of the day here, the parents of this young man, who they sent their kid to school, and now the kid's dead. And, you know, and the fact that they waited 12 hours to call, and then they dressed him. He was already dead, and they were and he wasn't dead already, but he was unconscious, probably in a coma, and they were trying to put clothes on him to change the scene. It's a bad situation, and even great Bronx attorneys would have a very difficult time defending this particular case.
So say you, Alex, what's your take on this?
I think Richard just presented a superb analysis of this entire case. Really. I mean, you know, unlike Richard, I went to Fordham University in the Bronx, and I didn't live on campus. I used to take a bus every day to go to Fordham, and I never belonged to any fraternity. It never interested me to belong to a fraternity. I never had any desire. I didn't drink at all either. I was not a drinker. Even now, I have an occasional beer, maybe a little wine once in a while. But back then, I didn't drink at all. So that wasn't part of my existence. And more likely than not, if this case goes to jury, more likely than not, the people they're going to select for the jury probably are people that did not were not part of fraternities. The prosecution is probably going to exclude anybody that ever belonged to some type of fraternity to make sure that they're not, you know, somehow biased in favor of, you know, fraternity brothers and sisters. Richard hit on the most important factor that I've been reviewing here is the fact that they waited 12 hours. This guy's knocked out, falls down a flight of stairs, and you wait 12 hours. What on earth is going on in those 12 hours? Are they just sitting around laughing and drinking and having the time of their life? You know, and then the defense attorneys, their primary defense is they didn't force this kid to drink. He was drinking on his own. That's what their defense is. And
even if he was
drinking on his own, once the kid got hurt, these other people in that fraternity had a legal duty to take action to try to save this kid or provide medical attention to him. There is no question in my mind that these kids are all in trouble here. And Rich is right about one thing. I don't know why the prosecution is giving a preliminary hearing here. They could have just gone directly to a grand jury. All they're doing is providing tons of information to the defense, and the defense is taking advantage of that. And basically, it's a learning expedition. It's a fishing expedition for the defense, and they're picking up as many pointers as they can, and they're going to use that when they finally go to trial on the case. But I don't care how many pointers they pick up. I don't care what kind of confusion they're trying to create here. These kids are in trouble. And
understand,
Jordan,
understand in a school like Penn State, which is way out there in western Pennsylvania, or look at the series of schools like Lehigh and Lafayette and Bucknell, you know, these schools, they're in the suburbs, and the campus life is your social life, and the fraternities are the social life. If you're not in a fraternity, that's where the parties are on the weekends. So if you are in a dorm or you're in, you know, other housing as you go through your sophomore, junior, senior years, on the weekends, you're either going to go to a fraternity party or you're going to sit in your own house and play cards because there's nothing to do. And the drinking age is 21, and like some bars will let you in, but that's a risk. And not too many bars are real receptive to having underage drinking. And the whole social life is around these fraternities. So when the students try to pledge a fraternity, you know, they put up with a lot of stuff, and I remember what I put up with, and I can't believe I did all that. And I was president of my fraternity, and we had some incidents, and I was a little nervous back then, and it was a lot, you know, it was pretty crazy back then. If I think about it now, you know, I'm glad it's over with, but, you know, that's the type of environment, and, you know, that's just the fraternity structure in these schools, and you're either going to have fraternities or you're not, because this is the social life. And that's why they get the students to come in here and put up with insanity to pledge and actually, you know, become a brother. And hazing is going on in all these schools. I don't care if they tell you, no, it's not. We don't permit hazing. That's bullshit. They are all hazing to get these kids in as brothers. So that's what makes the brotherhood.
The fact that this young man died, though, that is a problem. These kind of crazy things go on, but the fact that someone died, That's why they're bringing up charges, Richard. You would agree?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in school, they did, some pledges had to do a kidnapping. Some kid fell out of the back of a car and died. You know, these things happen, and it happens as a result of pledging and the hazing that's going on in these fraternities, and it's almost impossible to prevent it. And you know, Alex, at Fordham, there was no reason to be in a fraternity. You were in the city. I mean, there was a lot going on. There's a lot of things you could do, but in these rural schools and these universities, there's nothing going on. There's nowhere to go, and you can just go bowling so many times. I mean, or go to a movie. There's nothing else going on there. So the fraternities are the mecca for social life, and I think it's out of control right now, actually.
Oh, it's definitely out of control. But when you leave people to their own devices over there,
right?
It's almost like it's like Lord of the Flies almost. You know, everybody's descending to the lowest common denominator, and their worst and most, you know, diabolical primitive instincts are coming out. And that's what's happening there. Throwing some alcohol there, people get hurt, people die, and then everybody's trying to run for cover and saying, I'm not responsible. But they're in trouble. And, you know, there's got to be other things to – I mean, I didn't live that fraternity life, but, I mean, don't people go on dates when they're in college?
There's nowhere, Alex,
there's
nowhere to go. You take a date to a fraternity party. That's what you do. There's nowhere else to go. That's it.
Wow.
Unreal.
Tough situation.
All right, let's get to Bill Cosby.
Sure.
Go ahead, Richard.
No, Bill Cosby.
Okay, Bill Cosby.
Go ahead.
Play this clip, and then we'll talk about Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby will go on trial again November 6th. 5 months after a jury deadlocked on whether he was guilty of sexual assault or not. After the judge declared a mistrial, prosecutors immediately said they planned to try again. Jurors have given somewhat different accounts of why they couldn't reach a unanimous verdict, but the few who have spoken agree the deliberations were emotional and tearful at times. Juror Bobby Dugan, who believed Cosby was guilty, told NBC News that he believed a second trial was necessary.
All right, let's start with Alex, then we'll go with Richard. Alex, what's your take? His lead attorney walked out of the case, so he's looking for a new attorney as we speak. Bill.
His lead attorney walked out. I wonder what that was about. But in any event, that's unusual for the attorney to walk out. It's probably over money. But, you know, as I said before, and I'll say again, I personally think from all the evidence I've heard, you know, the sheer numbers of witnesses that have made allegations against him, I think the guy's probably guilty. But I still think he shouldn't be prosecuted. And I've said this before, because he made a deal with a prosecutor. And once he made that deal with the prosecutor 10 years ago or 12 years ago, whatever it was, that he would not be prosecuted as long as he made a statement on the record, as far as I'm concerned, the case was over. And now this new prosecutor comes in with a lot of bluff and bluster and says, oh, no, that prior agreement that was made between Cosby and the old prosecutor, that's not valid. That has no valid. And the court somehow went along with that nonsense. It's my belief that if somehow Cosby gets convicted, the case has to be overturned on appeal. Because when a prosecutor and a defense attorney make an agreement, that has to be a solid agreement that cannot be simply overturned because of political influences. So I think that Cosby, no matter what, is going to end up winning. But that having been said, if that wasn't an issue, Cosby should be retried in this case. These women should have a right to testify as to what happened to them. And quite frankly, if the allegations are true, I hope the guy gets convicted.
Okay, Richard, I think you have a different take on this. Let's hear it.
Well, I think that Alex is right. I mean, they made a deal with the district attorney. And the basis of that deal, he went ahead and testified in a civil litigation. So at the end of it, he never would have done that, and he would have stuck to his guns, and he would have, you know, let them bring it on. Try your case way back when. And it just was political. This new district attorney ran on the platform of prosecuting Bill Cosby, and that's not what politics is all about. That's just not how the criminal justice system works. So They completely bastardized it there in that particular part of Pennsylvania again. But
what's going on over there in Pennsylvania?
Too much grain alcohol, I think, or something's going on. But, you know, in these cases, when there's hung juries, you look at the jury, you try to poll the jury, and, of course, that was privileged information, which I read a few reports that there were only, like, two jurors who were holding out for acquittal. So that's pretty strong, and most prosecutors would retry a case like that, except that, you know, he's a celebrity, Bill Cosby. And if you look at the merits of the case, they can't answer the question that if she was brutally, brutally taken advantage of by him, he drugged her with drugs and Quaaludes and whatever else she's claiming he did and paralyzed her and she couldn't move, why did she call him 6 months, 8 months later and try to get tickets for her parents to see his show? If this was a brutal physical attack on her where he completely took advantage of her, what is she doing talking to him? What is she doing trying to get more things out of him? Because that's probably why she was with him to begin with. What is she looking for now? You know, and it's a tough, if you really are attacked in a situation like that, and you got Gloria Allred, who I can't stand yet, her babbling, you know, outside the courtroom, but look at the facts of the case, and is he guilty? You know, there's a lot of women are claiming that this happened to them, the same thing, although that's not in evidence here, so that's not coming in, and this judge was right to keep that out. But again, why were you calling Mr. Cosby 10 months after the alleged incident to have him give you tickets for your parents to see his comedy show? Answer that question. And, you know, whatever she says, it doesn't matter. If I'm a juror, I got a big problem with that. But, you know, it's not L.A. And if it was L.A., I would say there's no way they would convict him. But, you know, this is not L.A. This is a, you know, upper-class, pretty much white community. And there's Bill Cosby. He's looking kind of pathetic these days. And all those jurors know his history. They all know the allegations against him. And even though, you know, you're supposed to come in there with a clean slate, they all know it. Alex, you know they're coming in there. They've read all these stories and all these women's accounts of what happened. And they're probably looking it up at night, going on Google, even though they're instructed not to. So the question is, can he get another, at least a hung jury next time? And, you know, I don't know. Only two. If you lose your lead attorney, that's a problem.
Richard, what would happen if they get another hung jury? What would happen?
They'll try it again.
So there's no
look at John Gotti. They kept coming back. John Gotti, they keep coming back.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know?
Hey, Rick,
so,
maybe you can
no matter how many times, if they come back hung jury, they could keep going after it. They could keep going. Just, that's very interesting. And what did you think, let me start with you, Alex. Did you hear the wife, through a PR person, this is one of the reasons why the attorney left, basically go after the judge, the prosecutor, and who else, you know? I mean, that wasn't a good look, a lot of people said. And,
wait,
you know, the judge.
Wait, who went after the judge? What'd you say? Who went after the judge and
prosecutor? Mrs. Cosby,
right,
threw a PR person through the judge
after
under
the
bar,
trial.
The prosecutor.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
After the trial. And it wasn't a good look because, you know, you might see that judge 4 months from now. And, you know, I think that's why the attorney left.
Would Cosby's wife go after the prosecutor and the judge? Is that what you're saying?
That's what happened. She made a statement after the jury, after the trial was over. They came out on the courtroom steps, and through some sort of individual representing Camille Cosby, this person went insane against the judge and against the district attorney and how corrupt everything was and everything under the sun.
Well,
and
yeah,
Mike,
I don't
know,
what
Mr. Cosby's vindicated now, and these are horrible people. This was fraudulent. This was, you know, everything under the sun. I mean, it was, you and I would have walked out of this one too. It's the same judge. It's the same judge who's going to do a retrial. So, terrible.
Rich, maybe you know more about this case than I do, and maybe you can answer this question because I'm not clear about this. Remember Bill Cosby 10 to 12 years ago, they made an agreement with the prosecution. He would not be prosecuted. Remember?
Right.
And he agreed to a civil judgment. So why on earth was it necessary for Bill Cosby to go on the record and admit all the make all these incriminating statements? Why didn't he just say, listen, here's a check for $2 million, goodbye? Why did he have to make those statements?
Right.
I don't understand that.
He said Benadryl. He said it was consensual.
Yeah, but he didn't have to say anything.
He didn't have to say anything. Alex is right, Jordan. There was a deal made, and I think what happened was when that deal was made, it wasn't made 100% proper. I think it was a verbal handshake with the district attorney. It wasn't put into a stipulation and so ordered. It was something like that. And when the new when they had the new political election there, the new DA who hates this DA said, you know, this was a travesty what happened with Cosby, and I'm going to come after him. And this was like the big grounds for the election in that community. And but you're right. You're right. And if he should get convicted next time, you know, the first issue on appeal is going to be this. And because he relied to his detriment to a representative deal with the district attorney, Jordan. And I agree with Alex. I think that that's pretty powerful.
And by the way, another thing you mentioned before, Rich, and here's, you said, what does this woman want? What is she getting out of this by coming and testifying now? From what I understand, she's getting absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Right?
Because she already got a settlement. She's not going to get
nothing.
Any more money. So if she's not getting anything, wouldn't that suggest that she's telling the truth as opposed to fabricating?
You know, who knows? Look, he was Mr. Temple University, Bill Cosby. And hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. I'm sorry, ladies. And by the way, we got a lot of people out there, Jordan. I got to run through the list really quick. Maddie, Lisa, Vicky, Pager, Gail, Sarah, Sharon, Cheryl, Mary, Phil, Debbie. I know I left some out, but what loyal fans you have, Jordan, and we have, and they're wonderful people. I love them. Love all their comments. And,
absolutely.
And they look forward to the show. They're telling their friends, come on, they're going on soon. It's just wonderful. So, again, Alec, I don't know why she's doing this. Maybe she's going to write a book. Maybe something's going on there. I don't know. But she got a payday, and you know, years ago, that was the thing, Jordan. Years ago, Quaaludes was the hot thing, and everybody wanted them, and everybody was looking for them, and everybody was looking to party.
They were legal now, right?
They stopped making them because people in Florida were taking them and passing out driving, and it just got out of control. But, you know, one Quaalude was like four or five drinks. And the thing with this was the next day you felt great, no hangover. And this is what I've read about these things because I don't personally know too much about it, but I've read about this, you understand, that I maybe did. Anyway, they were really, I mean, it was like craziness. Everybody wanted them, and you couldn't get a lot of bootlegs out there and fakes, and there was it pharmaceutical? Was it bootleg? And if it was real, you know, it was like almost a euphoric state, and people were having a lot of fun partying with them. And you know, all these women that are complaining about Bill Cosby, you know, why didn't they do anything when this happened, you know, 30 years ago and 20 years ago and 15 years ago, you know, all of a sudden everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. And what were they doing around him, and what were they looking to get out of him, you know? And I'm not saying he's the innocent God here, okay? It takes two to tango. But was he drugging all these women? I mean, if he was crushing them in their drinks and they didn't know about it, that's a problem. But how are you going to prove it now? Very difficult to prove, almost impossible to prove.
Well, supposedly – I think the greatest point in the defense of Bill Cosby is that these women that were allegedly taking the drugs voluntarily. It's not like you said. He didn't crush the drinks and sneak it and put it in
right,
the drinks.
Right, they wanted
he would
it
go
because
up to
this
them
was a hot thing,
say,
right.
Take these pills. It'll make you feel good. Now, what rational person is just going to take pills from somebody and start drinking with that? To me, that sounds crazy. And that's a very
good defense
for
him. Yeah, but in the 70s, that's how it was. That was party time. You're too young for that, Alex. You don't know. It was party time.
I was around
time,
in
man,
the
that's 70s. How, that's how people partied.
No, I didn't party like
that's
that.
That's on the heels of the 60s where they were doing LSD and heroin and everything. So, you know, things
man,
died
down a little.
Man, what kind
of neighborhood did you grow up in? Holy smokes.
I'm an old man, brother. I've been around. So, anyway. Jordan, you don't know about any of this stuff. You just have to read. You have to read up on it, brother.
I was talking about Casey Anthony. Attorney Cheney Mason says that Casey Anthony blacked out. Richard, what's your take on this latest development with the never-ending Casey
Again, I watched that case from the beginning to the end. I watched Baez. I wouldn't let him represent me for a parking ticket. But you know what? The guy won. He won the case. And so he won a case that nobody in their right mind thought he or pretty much any other attorney could win. So I tip my hat to him. He won it. She got acquitted. And all this talk right now, Chaney Mason getting back in. I know Chaney. I've had some dealings with him, and he wasn't too happy with some of the things I was saying about Casey during the trial. But you know what? They won. They won. She's acquitted. All this stuff now, she's living down in southern Florida, you know, working, taking pictures and doing some things with, I think, with some legal defense work down there. But in any event, who cares? At this point in time, that jury blew it. This woman killed her daughter. I believe it. With the father, he has the crazy look in his eyes. Something went on there. We don't know. There was a stone's throw from the house. It was all the stuff from the house surrounding her in that little shallow grave. She's out partying, carrying on. I don't care how he's couching it now, Chaney Mason. I believe she did it. But she got acquitted. And we have to stand by that. The jury has spoken. So all this talk now, it's all garbage. It's gibberish. It means nothing. She's getting on with her life. They're never going to try her again, so don't worry about it. It's over. It's nothing. It's like in Goodfellas, you know, when De Niro goes into the phone booth and says, what happened, you know, with Pesci? Did he get to be made? And no, he's not here, and there's nothing you can do about it. And there's nothing you can do about her anymore because it's over with. Right, Alex? It's over.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you the truth, and I'd like to know your opinion on this, Rich. I find that statement by Chaney Mason not only peculiar but troubling because, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't he committing some type of ethical violation?
I think so.
He's her attorney.
Good point.
And now she's acquitted. She has been making the statements that she's not guilty, and now he's casting aspersions on her, saying, well, she blacked out. Well, what does that mean? That you committed a murder and then you blacked out during the murder. What the hell is he saying this for?
Yeah, she didn't want to remember what she did or how she did it.
Right.
She went
to
Casey
World.
Like
that. Listen, that guy crossed the line. That Chaney Mason crossed the line. And if somebody brought some type of ethical complaint against him, he may have a problem. Because you don't go after trial's over, especially when your client is found not guilty, and start casting aspersions on their guilt or innocence. That's not your role. That's the role of people like Richard Herman, but not your own lawyer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
That's a good point.
But she'd be the one to have to do it. And I know that she had a falling out with Baez, but I think was still kind of respectful of Chaney Mason. So
there was accusations she slept with Baez. Richard, do you believe that?
I don't know. I heard about that. I don't know. You know, matrimonial proceedings, if the attorney, you know, messes around with the client, they can be disbarred for that. So, but in criminal cases in Florida, I guess it's okay. I don't know if he did or he didn't. I don't know how these lawyers were paid.
The defense team.
Yeah, but Alex
one
is
of the
right.
Investigators.
Yeah, this guy's divulging a lot of attorney-client privileged information, and he shouldn't be doing that. And potentially, he could have a problem. You're right, Alex.
Maybe setting up for a future book. We shall see.
But no retrial, so don't even think about it. No retrial.
Okay, 4 years ago today, George Zimmerman was acquitted. Let's take a look to listen to the reaction, and we'll talk about it on.
In the Circuit Court of the 18th Judicial Circuit in and for Seminole County, Florida, State of Florida versus George Zimmerman, verdict. We, the jury, find George Zimmerman not guilty. So say we all, four person.
We got
they found him not guilty.
No.
This is evil, evil, evil. No type of justice. No type of justice.
Just wanted justice, but he gets to go home. That's not right. That's not how this world is supposed to be. God said stand up for what's right.
What do we want? This is not right.
Nope.
And guess what? Before it's all over,
over. You never know. Somebody may kill him. I don't know. Yeah. He may lose his mind. I'm not saying. But you don't do people any kind of way and think you're going to get away with it. You will not get away.
They made the law, stand your ground, self-defense. And they got this one right, but there are no winners.
He
don't care the word of you
is. And this is not
it's
even right.
I hope that you are looking. I hope he's burning in hell.
Honestly, I'm a bit stunned, very surprised. My heart is broken for the community of Sanford. I'm sure Sanford will have some tough time ahead of them in the coming days.
He challenged and fought a child. He wasn't even mad enough to go after a man.
He should have never got out of
life. We have one father. He's watching America. This is what you did to the Martin family.
Was
ungodly.
Florida is in jeopardy right now. We all got to pray for Florida.
Okay, let me start with you, Richard. You did call it. That's 4 years ago today that George Zimmerman found not guilty on all counts. What's your take when you think about this 4 years later?
I think some of the stand your ground laws in Florida have been recently amended, and some of the Castle Doctrine down there has been amended a little bit, probably as a result of this case. But, you know, from a defense perspective, I think Alex would agree with me. You know, there was a good defense here. I mean, there really was. And having your head pounded in the cement gives you, you know, a ground to, if you're lawfully carrying a handgun, you know, and your head is getting pounded into the cement, I think you can pull that handgun and shoot. So that's what happened here, and that's what the jury thought. And like the person said, you know, under the law, he was acquitted. But there are no winners in this case. A young man lost his life, and, you know, looks like Zimmerman was hunting that night so just a very bad situation. But, you know, there's no handguns in New York City. You carry you get a handgun in New York City, you can't get a license for a handgun unless, you know, you're dealing with, like, a lot of cash on almost a daily basis. Other than that, you know, you can't. But Florida's a different state, and you can get license and concealed carry handgun licenses are issued all the time, and the standards are minimal. The shooting requirement is minimal, and a couple hours in a classroom, and you get the license, and you can conceal carry, and it's still like that in Florida. So, you know, people who live in New York City, they can't believe it. It's, you know, and you wouldn't imagine carrying a handgun in New York City, but there, you know, a lot of people do. And, you know, I don't know that Zimmerman is all there mentally, to be honest with you, but just tragic, and but a very defensible case.
Alex, so for you, 4 years later today, four years ago.
You know, Jordan, every time I hear, you know, like the news report that you just played, I get angry. This was an assassination of a young black kid who, as far as I'm concerned, didn't do anything wrong, and a maniac like George Zimmerman, who was looking for some justification to blow somebody away. That's what it boils down to. And George Zimmerman's walking around with a gun. He was in his car at the time, and he came up with all these wild suspicions about this kid and ended up following him around, making the kid think he was being hunted, and he was being hunted. And then as soon as George Zimmerman, you know, determined that there was some type of justification, after he provoked everything, he turned around and shot the guy dead. And this is a kid. And that gets me angry. George Zimmerman has since proven and exposed himself for who he really is. Because subsequent to this incident, he had all kinds of incidents with girlfriends. He had an incident with another driver.
With guns.
Pulling the gun out when he was driving.
The guy... is a low level. There's a low life. He is dead on the inside. There's absolutely nothing to that man. You know.
But you know, Alex, this was an example of really, really great defensive lawyering, because the prosecutor
and horrible
was just
prosecution.
Horrible prosecution, and really outclassed by the defense attorneys. And And, you know, and you had a defense. I know, Alex, you don't like the defense, but there was a defense there. And, you know, they delivered it. And again, the jury went with it. So, and I don't think
did
Zimmerman too many favors in that case, to be honest with you. But, you know, and you got a jurisdiction where, you know, probably some racists on the jury. So, you know, it was the age of Aquarius. The moon aligned with the stars, and you got an acquittal in this case. And just a tragic, tragic case all around.
I don't begrudge the defense attorney.
On the case, on the jury.
You know, when you're a defense attorney, you deal with a certain set of facts, and you're going to try to work with those facts to the best of your ability to gain the best possible opportunity for your client. I understand that's what I've been doing my whole life. I mean, so I don't begrudge the defense. I'm angry at the prosecution because how dare any incompetence or negligent prosecutor walk into a courtroom.
The same thing with Casey Anthony. The prosecution was horrible. And the same thing with O.J. Simpson. The prosecution was horrible. So that's where your anger should be.
Yeah, and that's the weakness in the criminal justice system. Why should justice depend on who is a better lawyer? Does that make sense? Just, if everybody had Richard Herman as an attorney, nobody would be going to jail. That's not fair.
Oh, please.
You know, I mean, let's face it.
The check's in the mail. Alex, the check's in the mail. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not justice where because you happen to be a good attorney, you're going to get a better result. That's not right, but it's reality.
Look, the
Let me ask both of you
not...
on this. Six people decided Zimmerman's fate. Richard, first let me ask you, from a defense standpoint, do you like 12 people deciding your client's fate, or do you like six? What's more in favor?
I like whoever's on there. I like good ones, sympathetic ones to my clients.
Yeah,
so,
obviously.
You know, there's arguments both ways, 6 or 12. You know, if you're looking for an acquittal or a hung jury, you know, just one juror holdout, one, depends on the jurisdiction, depends on the jury pool. I don't know. It's not as easy as – I don't think it's a numbers game on that. You know, 12-0 is kind of hard to get either way. So, I don't know. It's the law in Florida, and, you know, that's what it is. Three strikes and you're out. Those are the rules in baseball, and that was the jury pool down there, six jurors, and that's the ones that hear it on a case like that. So there's not, you know, I don't know that there's any real discussion on that. But, look, and Alex is right. This guy was in a car on a highway pulling the gun out. He's had other issues, girlfriend issues, restraining orders issued against them. I mean, something wrong there. Again, maybe some mental illness with him, too. And, again, what are we doing about that? Nothing. So is the Zimmerman story over with? Probably not. Probably not. So to be continued with George Zimmerman, I think.
Alex, so say you, if you're a client and you would you rather have six jurors to decide the fate or 12?
I think I'd rather have 12, because if you have 12, all you need to do, I mean, if your objective is to, sometimes a case is very strong against your client, and your objective is simply to get convinced one person to join your side, because if you get one poor person to join your side, it's going to end up in a hung jury, and that means they're going to have to try the case all over again. And obviously, if you have 12 people, you have a greater chance, I think, of maybe possibly convincing one of these people to join your ranks and hopefully end up with a hung jury. Now, the next question is, you know, should a defense attorney be trying to get a hung jury to begin with?
Don't answer that, Alex. Alex, it's between you and me.
You know, some people would say, what the hell are you talking about? You're trying to be a defense attorney, and you're just trying to jam up the proceedings. Is that what you're trying to do? And that's what defense attorneys do.
All right, this is a very tragic case. A person leaves an animal to die in a car. Let's talk about this, but let's hear some Sanford's.
A Demas woman is behind bars tonight after police found her dog dead inside her car during our hot weather. And CBS2's Tina Patel is live in Pomona, where her two other pets are being treated. Tina?
Well, Pat, it was well over 100 degrees in that car, which is why vets here are now keeping a close eye on the animals that did survive. Their owner now facing three felony counts of animal cruelty. Christian Sabalos and Celine Escobar both wait until evening to bring their dogs to the park. They say in the summer they worry about them getting overheated.
I work 7 a.m. till 3:30, so I'm constantly calling my mom, hey, check on his water, make sure he has water.
I work 10 minutes away from my house, so I go for my lunch just to make sure she's still okay. Like, every time, like, I put ice cubes in her water.
They think every pet owner should take precautions like that, which is why they were disturbed to hear about Jennifer Ariga. Ontario police arrested her yesterday afternoon after she allegedly left her cat and two dogs inside a parked car on Shelby Street. They broke the window to rescue the animals, but one Chihuahua didn't make it.
Oh, man. That's sad. That hurts, because I'm a dog lover, especially dogs.
That's what the Inland Valley Humane Society are now treating the surviving dog and cat, who were both in heavy distress when they were found. They don't know how long the animals had been left, but say it was 113 degrees in the car.
Inside a vehicle, it's a lot hotter. It gets 30 degrees warmer in a matter of 30 minutes.
In fact, investigators used a special thermometer to show us just how quickly temperatures do rise. That's why they say pet owners should never take a chance with their animals.
Common sense. Just use your common sense. If you don't want to be left in the vehicle in the heat yourself, why would you expose your pet to that?
Ariga is due in court tomorrow. Investigators tell me it'll be up to the judge to decide what happens to the dog and cats that survived, but they say it's unlikely they'll be returned to her. That's the latest in Pomona. We'll send it back to you.
Richard Herman, let me start with you. This is a sad, tragic case. A lot of people have animals, and what's your take on this?
Well, you see the difference between an animal and a human being. You know, we had that husband who put the kid in the back seat and went and got on,
yes,
you know, doing porn and everything on his phone the rest of the day, and the kid died, and that person's going to be in prison pretty much the rest of their life. Here, the worst-case scenario, okay, the worst-case scenario is 6 months in county prison and a $600 fine. But that's the worst case, and with no prior history, probably no prison and some community service and a fine, and that's probably how it's going to come down. So poor animals suffered. One died. The other ones were in really bad shape when they got him out. Was it an innocent mistake? Is it an innocent thing to leave a dog in a car like that? Or, you know, did this person intend for the dogs to suffer and die in the car? I don't know. I don't know where it's coming down. But I'm looking at the statute here, and I'm looking what the allegations are. And you're looking maximum for the dog that died, 6 months. And I can't see a judge on a first offense giving any kind of jail time to someone in this case.
Alex, I think you are a animal owner. Tell me if I'm correct or incorrect, but
yeah,
a day like today, where it was like almost 100 degrees, you wouldn't leave your animal in a car, would you?
No, absolutely not. I have a Siberian Husky.
Oh, jeez.
And a Siberian, yeah. And a Siberian,
he'd break out of the car. He wouldn't stay in there.
Yeah, they don't do well in very warm weather. I also have a toy poodle, and my daughter, who lives with us, has two cats. So we have four animals in this house. But we're very conscious about, you know, we have to let the dogs out into the yard. But, you know, we make sure we let them out for a little while. They hang out for a little while, bring them back in, because they can't be hanging out in the sun. As Rich said, I would like to know as a little bit more facts about how this woman ended up leaving the dog in the car. You know, I walk my dog sometimes at night, quite often at night. That's when I walk the dog, because I don't have time to walk it during the day. Plus, when I do walk the dog, I want to make sure that it's cooler. And I put the dog in my car, I drive to this park, and I walk around this park, and then I take her home. One time, this only happened once, but it did happen. One time, you know, I walked the dog, came home, and the next day, I'm looking around, I'm saying, man, where's the dog? And I'm looking outside. Holy smokes, I left the dog in the car.
Oh,
and I left the dog in the car all night long. Now, it wasn't warm, though. It was cool. And so nothing happened to the dog, but I left that dog in the car, and it was a mistake on my part. Mistakes do happen. Now, was it a mistake that happened with this woman, or was she, you know, going and gambling and, you know, drinking and engaged in some other type of irresponsible behavior? I don't have enough facts right now. I'm disturbed that these dogs die. I love animals. To me, animals are wonderful. But I think before we draw some judgment on this person, I think we need to know a little bit more facts. How did she treat the animals in the past? Did she always take her dogs to you know, the local veterinarian to be treated properly? What did the neighbors say about her? And what was the general physical condition of the dogs anyway? Did they look like they were generally healthy, or were they always being mistreated? Were they underweight? Did they suffer from ticks or Lyme disease or untreated heartworm disease? I'd like to know all that, because it would tell me whether or not this person is a responsible person or not. If she was an irresponsible person and she left those dogs to die, as far as I'm concerned, let her go to jail for 6 months.
All right, before we get to our call,
you know, Jordan,
all New York,
Jordan.
Yeah.
Alex and I, we were in the trenches with Nancy Grace in the early years, too, brother. We, Alex and I, go way back with her, you know, with the craziness, with the turning off the mic, and just, we would just, it would be our goal to antagonize her and make the veins pop in her neck and just make her crazy, like just say anything to make her nuts. And she loved that. And we had a lot of fun doing her show. And then it got, you know, got a little different as it went on. But in the early days, we had a lot of fun with her, boy.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
Fun.
Yep.
Now
tell me something, guys.
New York,
you guys are in the Bronx. I got to know this. Don't break my heart. I
Where
love
is
this
the
judge.
Best place to eat in New York? I'm going to say Junior's.
Junior's.
What do you say,
Junior's,
Richard?
That's in Brooklyn.
Well,
Junior's,
it's still New York.
Be good, like. Junior's used to be good years and years ago. There's a few decent places.
Oh, good.
By the way, I just went to eat at a restaurant in Manhattan, Smith & Walensky, which is a steakhouse. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Smith.
Oh, that's
if you like
place.
Steak.
I know you're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got
and
Peter
like
Luger's
steak.
In Brooklyn. Yeah, Peter Luger's.
Oh, there you
come
go.
On.
Watch out for Peter Luger's, because a lady the other day was eating at Peter Luger's, and another patron there went in bitter and tried to bite her arm.
Oh, my God.
You got to watch out for your life at that place.
Campagnola on the Upper East Side. Great Italian food in New York City. Nobody's biting people there. It's good.
You cannot get better Italian food.
Now, wait a minute. You guys, I'm in love with this Aaron Judge. I love this guy. He's, oh, my God, I'm so in love with him. But please, I don't want to read about steroids down the road with him. He's such a big, strong guy, but I hope it's not. You
That's
know,
what
he's
I was
just,
thinking.
I hope not.
Okay. Let's get to our callers. Let's say hello to Sarah. She is now in Anaheim, and she says hello. Good evening, Sarah. It's your turn. You're on the phone with Richard and Alex.
Hi, gentlemen. Actually, it's Sarah from Huntington Beach, so I don't know if you wanted me or if
there's another
Sarah. Okay. Well, hi, guys.
How are you?
Hey, Sarah.
I'm good. Haven't talked to you guys for a while. I do have just a couple things to say and a couple questions. I agree with Alex on George Zimmerman. I think that I'm not a lawyer, and I wasn't a juror, but I watched the trial, and I think he's just guilty of sin. I think one thing that bothered me so much when his defense kept talking about how his head was being bashed into the sidewalk.
Right.
Okay, maybe it was bashed, but he went to work the very next day. So how bad could his injury have been? But then you get to the, stand your ground, and he was fearing for his life. And this fearing for my life, boy, have we heard that in the news every week? We hear fearing for my life. And I'm just, gosh, I just wonder, do you bring a gun to a fist fight? I think, I don't know, it's just sad these days that a lot of people are getting killed. And it's just, society is just getting worse and worse. As far as Bill Cosby goes, and I know that both of you have shared your views in the past, and I just want to echo that. I believe that if he had a deal with the district attorney, that deal should have been honored. And I'm very, very one of very, very few people that believe that. But I do think that it's just not fair for him to have a trial on that basis and using that evidence in this trial. The other thing I want to talk about is, and I want to ask you about this. We just talked about the woman who left her animals in the car. And was it Alex?
Yes.
Were you given that great defense for her? I mean, I think you should volunteer to be her lawyer. Was it you or was it Richard?
It must have been Richard.
No, it was Alex. Well, who, defense.
Yeah, I can't. I'm so sorry. Sometimes it's a bad connection and I'm not hearing voices real well. But anyway, whoever gave that whole opening statement, what, like, really, you should be her lawyer. Okay, there's two things, and if you just both want to touch on this lightly, because I'm not a lawyer and I don't have the knowledge that allows me to understand the word intent. I mean, I know the definition of intent, but the element of any crime and this element of intent drives me nuts. Because sometimes I think crimes are so horrific, it doesn't matter to me what their intention was. The crime was committed. So I just don't get it why so many people have lesser sentences, lesser charges, because of this whole element of intent, and it drives me nuts. And the other thing related to the animals in the car and related to many, many other cases is first offense. Okay, so I'm one of these people that I don't care if it was your first offense or not. If you committed this offense, this crime that calls for this time, I don't care if it's your first offense. So go ahead, gentlemen. I'm all ears.
Well, regarding the whole intent thing, I'm going to defer to Richard Herman. He knows much more about that than I do. But as far as the second question about first offense, I mean, why shouldn't a judge take into consideration whether or not you've never been arrested before? If you lived a sterling existence and you've never had any problems and you try to live a good life and you make one mistake when you're 48 years old, why should you face the same penalty as someone that has lived a life of crime and has been arrested 40 times? No, the fact that you have never been arrested before and it is your first offense is a factor that is taken into consideration, and rightfully so, by judges. And I think that's perfectly, perfectly legitimate.
Yeah, the maximum sentence is 6 months, so the judge has to take into consideration a lot of factors, and one of them is prior criminal history. And if there is a substantial criminal history or any criminal history, the judge can weigh that heavier. And if there's none, the judge is more likely not to impose any kind of jail or prison term for a first offender. But one quick thing on this particular dog case here, we're talking about intent. And on animal abuse, the statute there just says that the crime of animal abuse takes place whenever an animal is the victim of cruel treatment or neglect. So you don't need intent there, just cruel treatment or neglect. Now,
well,
on the second portion, on intentional abuse, where it occurs when the animal is physically abused, but the definition in the statute says intentional neglect occurs when an animal is deprived of food, water, shelter, or veterinary expense services. So, you know, the person's going to get convicted for everything here. The question is, like we discussed, what will the sentence be? And maybe the judge is an animal lover and will agree with you and just say, you know what, I don't care what your history is. You're going to go to jail. So, that you know, you might get that here. I don't know. But
intent, I mean, for all criminal cases, intent is a huge element.
Yes, it
like
is.
Like with child abuse cases and child murder cases.
But every case, we punish for the state of mind of the alleged perpetrator. So if it was an intentional conduct, then they're going to be convicted. If it's not intentional, there's going to be something less involved there. You know, murder is an intentional killing. If it's not intentional, then it's going to be manslaughter or something else. And the punishment is much heavier for intentional conduct than, say, mistake or something else. So intent is critical in the criminal justice system, and you have to prove that. And you were talking about Zimmerman and fearing for your life, and that's a state of mind, and that's a subjective state of mind of someone. And that subjective state of mind is what gets virtually every police officer acquitted when they're prosecuted,
because
they feel that they were in fear of great bodily harm or death, so they shot, you know, and that's the defense. And it's subjective. It's under those circumstances, what was the state of mind of the police officer under these circumstances at night in the dark, down on the ground, laying flat, some guy on top of me, throwing my head into the ground, what was my state of mind? And, you know, and again, we looked at the quality of representation by the state and by the defense and the jury pool, and that's how you get an acquittal in the Zimmerman case.
And I do understand that. I think maybe in the back of my mind when I was talking about my question regarding intent, it was more when I read about these stories where little children are beaten to death, and the perpetrator is charged with manslaughter. I just don't see it. I just can't see if you're beating a child to death, your intention is to what? Discipline them?
I don't know too many cases where someone's beating a child to death and gets off on manslaughter. You'll have to show me some of those, because
I will get your email address and I will send them.
No, I don't want to read them. It's going to make me nauseous. Okay. So don't send them to me.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys. Have a good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thanks, George.
Thanks so much. Let's go out to Hawaii and let's say hello to Mary. She's live on King Jordan Radio. Good afternoon, Mary. I guess it's afternoon there, right?
Yes. 5:30. Good afternoon, Jordan. Yes.
Hey, Mary. Aloha.
Aloha.
It's
4:30, actually. And hi, Alex.
Hi, Mary.
Richard.
How's it going?
Haven't talked to you guys in a long time. Actually, I'm on my way. I'm at the airport. I'm flying from Honolulu to Kona in about half an hour.
Wow.
So,
nice.
Oh, yeah.
I wish
Sarah
I was you.
Just got to go out to Kennedy, get on a plane, Alex. Just got to get on there.
No, no, I do not want to go to New York, believe me. I'm sorry. Sarah and I are so much like-minded, and I am going to talk. I agree with Alex on this, what you said, Richard, was the mecca for social social pleasure or whatever is the fraternities, and
yeah.
I'm okay with that, but when do we stop caring about another human being, and why do we have to drink so much? I mean, I know I'm dating myself, but what's wrong with going bowling? What's wrong with meeting at people's houses? What's wrong with going to the movies? Why do we have to get so drunk to the point where we don't care about another human being that falls down the stairs? You see what I'm saying? That's one point that I wanted to say, that our social morals have just gone down the tubes in everything. Zimmerman, I am glad that the Florida is taking a look at the and changing some of the laws on stand your ground, because I think that that Zimmerman getting off, he was just a horrible human being, and I think he was on a hunt, like you said, Richard. He was hunting that night. On Cosby, I don't think he should be retried. I think that that first agreement should have been upheld, because to compare it to a case on child abuse, we have the Bella Bond murder, and the mother got off with a sweet deal where she will serve no time, and the boyfriend, who supposedly, according to her, is the one who beat the child to death, but they both buried the child, threw him in the ocean, they kept the child in the refrigerator and in the freezer for months, and the mother gets nothing. So if I would like to have a deal thrown out of court, would be that one, and let her be tried for murder. So that's one that I have to say on that. And basically, that's it. Thank you for your time, and I'd like to hear your take on that.
Thank you, Mary.
And aloha.
Aloha, Nui Loa. And mahalo for calling.
Mahalo.
Thanks so much for the call. And
Mary makes a lot of great points there. We appreciate her insight. And obviously, she's very interested in legal stuff and listens to some of the great legal scholars, one of which is Richard Herman. And by the way, when am I going to get that check, and how much is it going to be for?
Okay, I'm done.
Absolutely. And Richard or Alex, have you followed the case with the four missing people, teenagers, I guess? Richard?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
I haven't looked into that one yet. I guess that's going to upset me. I'm totally consumed with what's going on in the White House and what's going on with these people that never had any meetings with the Russians, never had any collusion. Oh, wait, there were some meetings, but there was never any well, now there was some meetings and there was collusion, but it's okay. I mean, I'm watching this stuff daily, and I'm losing my mind. I just can't take it. It's unbelievable what's going on here. It really is. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know what, Richard? If it's upsetting you that much, you may need to go to one of those cry-ins that they're having around the country. You can go there and, like, cry and get all your frustrations and your emotions.
I'd rather go get bit at Peter Luger's or something than do that.
You're getting a lot of play tonight, Peter Luger. But a wonderful job by everybody. Good chemistry by the New Yorkers. So let's do this again.
Definitely. And Alex, great hearing your voice, Alex.
We can do it live.
Wishing you all the best.
From Peter Luger.
God bless, brother. And George, you're wonderful as always. We love you, man.
Hey, Rich,
don't be afraid to come to the Bronx.
No, I love the Bronx.
Don't be afraid to come to the Bronx. Anytime you want to come down, I'll take you to a nice restaurant. I'll make sure you're nice and safe. Don't worry about anything. Okay?
I love it there. Come on. Don't worry, Murray's one of my friends. I love it there. I'll come see you. I promise. I promise, Alex.
And we'll catch
great
you
on
Saturday afternoon, Richard.
Let's do
Saturday
it, man.
Afternoon.
Saturday, yeah. Yep, CNN this Saturday, so that'll be interesting. More Trump stuff. I'm losing my mind. But I'm not doing a crying, so forget it.
Okay.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Richard.
Thank you so much.
All right,
thank
guys.
You.
Thanks a lot. Thank you,
Jim. Okay. Alex, it's been a pleasure. You haven't been on the program in a while. How's everything overall?
I'm just trying to live like the rest of the world. Get up every day, look at my schedule, try to figure out how am I going to resolve this problem or that problem, go to work, come home, deal with the family. Just trying to get by like the rest of the world.
Yeah, you know, you got to count your lucky stars for you have. The world, you know, all against us. Sometimes you just got to thank what we do have and not what we don't have. You
That's
agree,
it,
right?
Man. I'm with you 100% on that line of thinking.
So true.
Anyway, Jordan,
all right, Alex.
Thanks a lot for having me on the show, and thanks to you for your great audience. It's really a lot of fun being here. Talk to you later, buddy.
You know, you and Richard, awesome chemistry. Awesome.
It was so much fun.
I'd definitely hear this back. Okay, Alex, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, Alex Sanchez, great attorney. We'll be back probably, I am thinking, let's see here, Thursday, July 27th. Is the tentative date that we'll be back. Please keep up with King Jordan Radio on Twitter at King Jordan RAD, on Facebook, facebook.com/King Jordan Radio, and on Instagram, Print King Jordan Radio. Okay, it's
time for the song of the night. We're going to go to Throwback Thursday. And this is a song I grew up with. Let's go to 1990. Tiffany, I think we're alone now. Good night, everybody. We'll speak to you next time here on King Jordan Radio.
I think we're alone.